Welcome to Basic Gospel, formerly People to People. We're here daily at this time to bring the Basic Gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and our purpose every day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. We invite your calls right now, 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. We invite your calls, as I said, right now. Now here's Richard Pfeiffer.
Well, thanks, Bob. We love to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what that means. But sometimes, you know, it's one thing to say, smile, God loves you.
Yeah.
It's another thing to say, my son was supposed to be home at 10 o'clock, and it's 11:30, and he's not home yet. Now what?
Yeah.
And the worry begins.
Sure.
We worry about our kids. We worry about our jobs. We worry about making payments. We worry about all kinds of things. And it seems like the more we worry, the more there is to worry about. And yet you don't want to put your head in the sand and say, well, nothing could possibly go wrong, because we know that's false. So what does the gospel have to say about worry? How does the gospel, Jesus Christ, alive, living in you by his Holy Spirit, how does it enable you to handle the worries, the everyday worries of life, in a positive way, so you don't get all wrapped up in it and frozen solid so that you can't move forward or backward? That topic or any other topic that you'd like to talk about today, call us, come on in, and let's just have a conversation about Jesus.
Yeah. A lot of us are concerned and worried about the direction that our country is going in.
Yes.
Those are issues that many, many people have.
Absolutely.
How should we approach that?
Well, call in and let's talk about it.
1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now. I'm going to grab one. Let's talk to Rick in Queens, New York, listening on WMCA. Hi, Rick. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. I have a question about the geographic location of Jerusalem, as far as it concerns being a prize of Satan and of the Antichrist forces, versus the Jewish people, regardless of where they're at. In other words, if I know the news that we hear of the Middle East is ratcheting up, and it gets confusing to find out whether the evil forces are after the Jewish people, no matter where they're located, or is it the seat in Jerusalem that is the are the evil forces fixated on the spot as a sacred place, or is it the Jewish people, whether they be in Utah or Alaska or Turkey or Siberia? Would the focus be different and be still after the Jewish people, even if they were somehow transplanted from Jerusalem?
Well, Rick, that is a fascinating question. And I think one of the things that makes the answer more difficult is that there are several threads running through the Bible regarding both Israel and Jerusalem and the context within the salvation story.
Okay.
It is clear that Jerusalem is an important place.
Okay. I mean,
when Jesus went back to heaven from the Mount of Olives, the angel said, the way he went up, you're going to see him come back. There are statements in Ezekiel, I believe it is, that says when the Lord finally comes back and touches, you know, the mountain of Jerusalem, which Mount of Olives, Mount Moriah, all of those hills that are around Jerusalem, that it's going to split and a valley is going to be created for people to run. So there is geographical significance to the city of Jerusalem. And I think that it's that way not because it's any particular special place in terms of just the physical world, but that's where God gave Abraham his promise about the land and about his people and blessing the whole world through his seed. So there's that aspect of it. And then there's the whole Israel-Judaism aspect of it. And in this case, I think that the enemy of all of us, Jew and Gentile both, is seeking the followers of God wherever he can find them, and to cause them as much grief wherever he can find them. You know, back in World War II, where he could find them was in Germany, and that's where he was pounding on them. Earlier than that and after that, it was really tough in Russia under the Tsars, and then under, you know, Stalin and all those people.
As a Bible believer.
Yes, yes. And the reason is not specifically Judaism, but because Judaism believes in one God.
Okay.
And the same reason why Christians are hated in many parts of the world. It's just this one God. For Christians, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. For Jews, okay, especially before Jesus came, the only way to God was through the Mosaic Covenant. Well, people hate that exclusivity. They don't want to come to God on God's terms. They want to come to God on my terms. And so that causes misunderstanding and all of it. And then you throw in just the whole sin problem in general, and you've got this stew that is created because Satan and his minions are trying to do anything they can to disrupt God's plan. And okay, God clearly was working through Jews. He brought Jesus to the table through the Jewish nation and that whole thing. And now it's all about Jesus, and people hate that.
Okay, the reason I'm bringing up the topic is something like, I was bad in algebra, but I know that usually in an equation there's one unknown and everything else is a constant. And if I could find out the nature of the unknown, like is it Jesus, is it the Jews, is it Jerusalem, then regardless of the news broadcast, regardless of the current events, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, for example,
correct,
then that might eliminate all the other variable parts of the equation.
Yes, I think you've hit it exactly. Jesus is the constant.
Okay,
the Bible is the story of Jesus, and that story takes different forms, but it's the story of Jesus. And so if you follow the story of Jesus through the Bible, then you discover that Jesus was there at the beginning, he was there at the middle, he's going to be there at the end because he's always been there. He is the constant. Everything else is a variable.
Okay, you answered my question. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if you have further questions. Take care and have a great day. We're going to go to Temple, Texas and talk to Duran listening on KBBW. Hi, Duran. Welcome to People to People. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about, I was reading the scripture the other day, I forgot where it was. I know it's Paul was talking about that if you're in Christ, you don't make a practice of sinning, and those who are in Christ don't sin. Now, from my back then, that used to get really confused me, but now, since I understand the sin issue is dealt with, I remember Jesus saying, the only sin is unbelief in me. Now, once you are a believer, you still with the Holy Spirit, and you can never be an unbeliever again once you become a true believer. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what he's talking about.
Yes. In particular, look at 1 John 5, I believe that's 18, yes. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one does not touch him. And as soon as he explains the does not continue to sin in the context of being born of God and safe, and therefore the evil one can't touch you, then you know he's talking about the sin of unbelief, rather than any act that's taken outside of faith. And
right.
So do Christians, do born-again people, children of God, sin in the sense that they don't act in love or they act outside of faith? And the answer is absolutely yes. But that is a completely different kind of thing than the sin of unbelief. Once you have come to Jesus, truly come to Jesus and believe in him and have walked away, repented of, that sin of unbelief, that sin is no longer a part of your life.
Right.
Now, we can act bizarre, but when confronted with the truth of our illogic, a child of God will say, you know, you're right. I'm sorry I've been such a pain in the neck for all of you, sorry I've been confused. Please help me understand what it is I'm missing in the gospel that's causing me to act this way, to act as if I was in control instead of letting God be in control. And so I think you have it exactly. The sin of unbelief is the sin that we stop sinning. The other sins, which would have killed us in the past, no longer kill us because Jesus died for all of them, even the unbelief.
He took away the cause of spiritual death. That's right.
Yes.
There were some people that would say, see, if you keep on sinning, that means you're not saved. Like, they don't continue sinning every day. So they would try to pervert that word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. You answered my question.
Sure enough. Thanks for calling.
Take care. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines right now with Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. This is Basic Gospel, and we await your calls. 1-800-677-9377. Going to go to Corpus Christi and talk to Kim, listening on KCTA. Hi, Kim. Welcome to People to People. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I have a question. It's about, I guess it would be considered adultery. There's an elder of a church that I go to, and he also has a Bible study that I attend for the last 5, 7, 6 years. And I asked Facebook, and he's one of my Facebook friends, and a couple of my friends within the last 6 months from each other had asked me who he was, that he was telling them they were pretty, and asked them what they like to do to relax, and that basically he was flirting with them. They asked him recently, this happened the other day, the second one, and she told me that she asked him if he was married, and he'll go off saying what's for dinner or saying something else, like trying to change the subject. And I told them both he was married and he has children. And I don't know, as a believer, I looked up to him, he knows a lot. I know nobody's perfect. Do I confront him? But then I'm afraid if I do, he might say something about me, and I don't want to break people's hearts, so is it my responsibility as his sister to say something to somebody?
Well, you are in one of those rubber meets the road situations. He is playing with fire, and if he's doing what he's doing on Facebook, it's probably a tip of the iceberg kind of thing. So, you don't have proof that he's done anything. We just know, based on history and hundreds of these situations, that there's usually more going on than presents itself on Facebook. So you, as a concerned sister, as a person who has sat in his Bible study and knows that he is an elder in the church, you have every right to go to him in confidence and ask him what's going on, saying, you know, my friends have been conversing with you on Facebook and it's been inappropriate. Why are you doing this? Why, you know, is there something else going on? And if that's enough to get his attention and to, you know, stop doing that, then you have gently restored someone trapped in a sin. If he pushes back and says, oh, I never did any of that, then the Bible is clear. You find someone to go with you and talk to him again. And if he still won't admit what's going on or clean up the act that he's putting on Facebook, then you've got to go to, like, your church board and keep escalating until something is done. Now, because he's a guy and you're a woman, that first... Are you married?
I am married, but the problem is I don't really go to his church.
Okay.
I just go now and then.
Okay, well...
I used to.
But you do go to his Bible study?
Yes.
Okay. Because you're a woman and he's a man, I would take your husband with you. And make sure that your husband is backing you up. You need to have no sense in which it becomes a he said, she said, and now we're going around in circles. This has got to be handled truthfully, honestly, and within the context of the gospel. You need to be able to restore him gently if possible. If not, if there's something else going on, better to find out now, get it out in the open where the light of day can deal with it and stop any further pain and agony. Because if he's just now starting this flirtation thing, it could quickly escalate into something worse. If he's already involved in something worse, then it needs to be stopped right now. At any rate, regardless of what it is, how serious it is or how just beginnings of serious it is, dealing with it honestly and straight up is a far better way to deal with it than to just kind of hope that it goes away and then to find out later on that, you know, he ended up having an affair or somebody else, you know, whatever's going on. Deal with it now. Take your husband with you. Make sure you're both on the same page and you're not making accusations. You're asking questions. Get to the bottom of it and deal with it now.
Okay, some of my family members say I shouldn't get involved. What do you think? Is it a sin if I don't get involved?
That's why I said to take your husband. You know, because it's a man and woman situation, you've got to be careful. You've got to protect yourself as well as protecting him. So take your husband and ask questions. This isn't making accusations. This isn't exposing him to the world. Stop talking to other people about it. Go to him.
Okay.
Thanks, Kim. Good to hear from you. Hope this has been a help to you. Friends, during the month of June at Basic Gospel, we have a new CD to aid your growth and understanding of what you hear each day on this broadcast. It's a message called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. As we've reminded before, this radio outreach is supported by your prayers and gifts. Your gifts help to keep the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ coming. So please go online to realanswers.net and click the prominent link labeled This Month. We'll get a copy out to you right away. Again, that's our new CD, The Basic Gospel Journey, yours during the month of June for a gift of any amount. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel. And to Sacramento we go. Going to talk to Pat, listening on KCBC. Hi, Pat. Welcome to People to People. Hello, Pat. You're on the air.
Y'all is in two different things. Y'all doing a commercial. I heard everything you said before you said it. I don't know what's going on with my phone.
Okay. Well, you're on the air right now. Go ahead.
But right now you're on a commercial.
Okay. Just go ahead and talk to us right now.
Okay. The only one of the things I wanted to ask you guys, in the Bible where they called about the World War III, it's called Magog. Since then, I learned that Magog means Russia. So when our next war comes, is it going to be with Russia?
Well, there are some who believe that Magog is Russia. Others believe that it's someone else. And the fact is, we don't know. It could be. It could be something else. What we do know is that there are going to be forces arrayed against the people of God and against Israel, who are going to try to take over the world, try to take over God's people, try to establish their own kingdom on this earth, and Jesus is going to show up, he's going to speak, and it's going to be finished. The key issue here is that God is still in charge, and that Satan doesn't want him to be in charge. That's the whole issue. So this is primarily a spiritual battle, not a flesh and blood battle, although flesh and blood get involved, and if you read Revelation and other apocalyptic literature, it's pretty clear that horrific battles ensue when this stuff gets going. But when Jesus comes back and this Gog and Magog thing is all happening right there toward the end, when Jesus comes back, he does not fight a battle with his hands. He literally speaks and is victorious. And this is proof that he is so powerful. This is one of those proofs that Satan doesn't have a leg to stand on. And we do ourselves a tremendous disservice when we spend all of our time, and I'm not saying you are, but so many do, when so many people spend so much of their time nervous about Satan instead of cheering and screaming and jumping up and down and high-fiving each other that we serve an all-powerful God who is not even going to be bothered by Satan. He simply shows
up and speaks
Satan into oblivion. The way Revelation describes it is after this so-called horrific battle when Jesus just speaks and it's done, is he just sends one of the other angels down there to grab Satan and throw him into the pit, into the abyss. Jesus doesn't have to get involved at all. Some other angel is more powerful than Satan. So we are going to be victorious because Jesus is victorious. Our victory is guaranteed in spite of how we might die. Some of us, many of us, will die in the battles that precede Jesus coming back. But that's okay, because we know that our lives are hidden with Christ in God, and we are completely safe, completely guaranteed, and it's going to be incredible to know that, that Jesus is finally here and is putting this evil stuff to bed once and for all.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. What's your name?
Richard.
Richard Piper.
Hi, Richard. I'm Miss Pat, but I'm 100% a believer, like you just said. I thank God that you know what you're saying, because I've been with him since I was 12. I'm 66 now. And I wasn't even supposed to live to be 19, so I know God worked miracles also.
Well,
I thank you so much.
And thank you so much for your call. I appreciate that, the encouraging words and your testimony.
Yes, indeed. Thanks,
Miss Pat. All righty. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, Richard, a final question from Lynn. The subject today, worry. The question, we're to be aware of the signs of the coming of Jesus. The signs seem to be surrounding us with natural disasters and governmental changes and the issues with the Islamic countries, these things going on every day. As Christians, what are we to be preparing for? Are we always trying to be closer to God and witness the best we can? Or does this mean that we should be putting together disaster kits for hard times ahead? How far will a disaster kit get us if our society goes you-know-where due to a disaster of some type?
I love the question. I love its honesty, and I'll try and keep the answer simple. The book of Revelation is about Jesus. It tells us that in the very first verse of the very first chapter, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The fact that there are some very terrible things described in Revelation, as there were in other apocalyptic works, you know, parts of Ezekiel and Daniel and other books in the Bible, serve only as a demonstration of the overwhelming power and authority of God in Christ. Christ is ultimately victorious. He already is ultimately victorious, and Satan is only trying to take as many people down with him as possible. That's what it amounts to. And so, many of us will die, but you know that we're all going to die anyway unless Jesus comes before we die. So death isn't the issue. The issue is in whom have you placed your trust. If you've placed your trust in Jesus, you are absolutely safe. If you've placed your trust in Jesus, you get to walk by faith, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, lead you in the ways you need to go so that you know what kind of preparation to do. Should you have some extra food? Maybe, maybe not. Let the Spirit lead you.
Right.
Should you have some place you can go outside of a city? Maybe, maybe not. Let the Spirit lead you. Do not do this out of fear or panic or worry, but do it out of the absolute assurance that you belong to Jesus Christ and there is nothing and no one who can take you out of His hand, regardless of what it looks like around you. Will we be hungry? We might be hungry, but Jesus is in control. Might our economy collapse? It might, but Jesus is in control. Follow Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let Him be the source and power of your faith, and you can't go wrong.
It could be an interesting journey.
It can be. Well, it always is. We'll just see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone is on a journey, but we don't always know where that journey is going to take us. So at Basic Gospel, we invite you to take a journey to life and freedom, a journey that begins and ends with our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've been confused about the direction of your life, this message is going to give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's called the Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit realanswers.net. Just click the link on the homepage or call and speak with Billy at 1-800-727-2828. Billy, of course, is our wonderful operator. Again, that's realanswers.net or 1-800-727-2828. At Basic Gospel, we're excited to impact lives journeying together in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the administrative staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us at the same time tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.